Welcome back to Leonardo Ray Renaissance episode 131.
Yes. I have a theory.
That's it?
Well, no, there's more to it. I'm going to actually tell you the theory now. And this isn't in any history books, but I think I've extrapolated something. I think this is a point in Leonardo's life when one of the members of the Medici family came to him. You know, they got buckets of cash and they said, I want to be a superhero. I'm going to need a cape, probably the ability to fly. I think we can all agree those are standard. Can you help me with this? And Leo said, fuck yes, I can do it. I'm going to need a whole bunch of cash. I'm going to need an R&D department, but I think I can work on this for you. Give me some time. But I think this is the part of Leo's life where he starts working, trying to help someone become a superhero. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. Do you want to weigh in on that theory?
I have exactly the same theory. You just blew half my jokes, but...
oh, shit! Sorry. We're in sync.
That's all good.
We're in sync.
We are in sync.
We're in sync.
Yeah. Yeah.
Biologically, intellectually. Yes, yes. Yeah.
Now, for around 20 years, as I said in the last episode, I think, starting around 4090, Leo became obsessed with the idea of designing machines that would allow humans to fly.
Right.
Of course, he started by studying birds. He wrote, study the anatomy of the wings of a bird together with the breast muscles that move the wings. Do the same for man to show the possibility that man could sustain himself in the air by the flapping of wings.
So to be clear, he knows he's on to something here. It's like, let me see what birds do so I can figure it out from humans. But his one caveat, and he knows this, his one caveat is however it happens, it has to be man-powered or human-powered because we have to generate our own power to compensate for the weight. So he knows that's his big sticking point. But hopefully if he can study birds and he can figure out how they do it, he can figure out how humans can do it. Obviously, they would just be doing it bigger because of our weight. So he knows what he wants to do, and he knows his biggest sticking point. He's just got to get down to the research at this point.
Yeah, I mean, and the man-powered part of it was just a temporary thing until he invented the flux capacitor. That was really where he was headed, but it was...
Sure.
There has to be an intermediary step. It's like a beta. Basically.
Right. But I think we can agree that right now he's working on a Birdman costume. That's where I'm going. That's okay. All right. Just checking.
Birdman costume. Like what people tend not to know, it doesn't get a lot of play in the official history books. He also designed a way to give himself X-ray and heat vision.
Fuck me, that's awesome.
He worked out the physics for how fast you would have to fly at supersonic speeds backwards around the Earth.
Sure.
To turn back time.
Right.
Of course, they ripped that notebook of his off and turned it into the first Superman film with Christopher Reeves.
That actually makes sense. Quick question, follow-up.
Little known fact, dude.
When he was perfecting the heat ray, how many local villagers had to die until he got it right? Do you have a guesstimation on that?
There was 12 or 13, depending on how you count. But it's like you mentioned in the last episode, pulling the tongues out of woodpeckers. You know,
there's a price to be paid.
If you want to make scrambled eggs, you've got to break some eggs. You know, it's Leonardo da Vinci. He's like, back off, man. I'm a scientist. And...
with a license to kill or maim, whatever.
Yeah. And fly backwards around the Earth. Oh. He produced more than 500 drawings.
Sure.
And wrote 35,000 words over a dozen or so notebooks on the subject of flight.
So this is not a normal, this is cool. Let me check this out for a week or two until either one, I get bored, or two, and we're going to see this a lot in his life. Once he basically figures something out, and he figures out the gist, he figures out the principles of it, how it works, fucking moves on. No, like you said, this is going to go on for 20 years on and off. Over a dozen books, this guy has actually finally found something to focus in on. Good for him.
And again, so, Barry and Stan sat down with him one day, and they were like, Leo, mate, what are you doing? Oh, I'm studying how birds' wings work.
Sure.
Oh, that's great. Are you have you got a commission to paint a giant picture of a bird?
Down payment?
No. Are you building a massive statue of a bird?
To go with the horse?
No. Well, you do have a commission from Ludovico Sforza to build a big fucking horse, and it's just sitting there. You're not doing anything on it.
Right, yeah. Isn't there supposed to be somebody on the horse?
Yeah, and a guy on the horse. Yeah. Like, I don't know, mate. Maybe it's just me. But maybe you should just fucking focus for 5 minutes, Leonardo, on something you're getting paid to do. You're not even getting paid to do this shit. No wonder.
Yeah. Forget the fucking birds. But he can't. He's on the jazz, man. He's on the jazz. Look,
I don't want to compare myself to Leonardo da Vinci, but there was quite a few years there.
Right.
There was quite a few years there when I was working on my film.
Right.
And Chrissy would say to me, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I'm working on the film." The film, eh? Getting paid for that? No, not getting paid for it. Any chance, really, that film's going to make any money? No, not really. Probably not.
It's not why I'm doing it.
It's not likely. It's documentary. No. Documentaries don't make money unless you're fucking Michael Moore and no one else documentaries make money.
Ken Burns.
Oh, yeah. So why are you doing it? I don't know. It's a thing. You know,
it's there.
It's a thing to do. Yeah. It's a thing to do, you know.
Right. Well, you showed her because it was a good film.
Just to piss off billions of Christians. That's why I'm doing it. You know?
That is motivation. That is, that's a big motivation, yeah.
Anyway, back to birds. Yeah, please. So it was a great way. It was, for him, I think it was a way for him to combine both his observational skills and his fascination with the principles of nature and his engineering skills and bring them all together. And of course, many things he did, it started with his work in the theatre. He made mechanical birds as court amusements and for theatrical shows that would come out, fly around. But he wasn't the first person to create shit flying in the theatre. Our old mate Bruno.
Oh, the dome guy.
Brunelleschi. The dome guy.
Dome head.
Domo. Yeah, Domo Arigato. Mr. Brunelleschi. He was in between building domes.
Sure, as
you do. He was doing this shit, and wasn't he like completely fucking crazy too, Brunelleschi? He was like one of the real mad cuts.
He was out there.
Yeah, he was the guy that would scream at people and throw them out of buildings.
That's
They disagreed with him and
dick move.
All that kind of stuff. Speaking of broken eggs, wasn't he the guy? His design competition for the dome was to cut an egg in half and just stick it on the table and go.
Anybody who can make the egg balance, should get this commission. So bam, slammed it down. Bam. Yes,
slammed it. Yeah,
dome man.
So he was doing this back in the 1430s.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the same machinery that Brunelleschi used was revived in 1471 when Leonardo would have been 19 and he probably saw it with his own eyes.
Right.
This is where 12 boys dressed as angels production. Yeah, so was he. Descended from the rafters, attached to a ring. Now, whether or not it was a square ring or a round ring, we don't know.
Cock ring.
And your cock ring is square, which is I've always found bizarre. I always wondered.
It's cheaper that way because it's effective.
It explains a lot, though. Yeah,
right.
It was operated by pulleys and hand winches. That's winches, not hand wenches.
Right. I checked into that
before you get too excited. Yeah.
Right.
I do love a good hand wench.
Cheaper that way. Anyway. Just a hand. Just a handy.
No, she doesn't. Yeah, just a handy. Yeah.
Right.
Angels holding harps and flaming swords flying through the heavens, while below, stage devils were shooting up out of the stage.
Yeah.
Another play around about the same time in the early 1470s had Jesus descending from the sky.
Sure.
And so Leonardo saw these things and was like, shit, that's fucking cool. That's amazing. I got to. Unfortunately
amazing.
For him, he never got to see Steve Austin jumping up a building,
right? Going, or lifting a car with one hand. Yeah. It's probably best because Leo would have been watching that and going, you can't lift a car like that because of the weights and the physics involved. The car would have crumpled. No, no, I refuse. And I'm not going to watch anymore. He would have ruined it for everybody else. So it's probably for the best. But you've got to think in the 14th. I'm sorry, what? Say that again. Like,
they're using ropes.
I can see the ropes. Boo. Yeah. Boo on you, sir. Yeah. So you've got to think in the 1470s, there's a play and there's people coming down and there's people going up and they're going side to side. There's angels, there's demons, there's Jesus himself. How could that not be the greatest fucking thing you've ever seen? And even if Leo just hears about it, how could you not think that's awesome and be inspired by that and want to emulate or copy that?
Yeah. It's Cirque du Soleil. Like, he invented Cirque du Soleil. Well, he did. It was around before him.
He improved upon it. You know? I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 1482, just before he left Florence for Milan, he drew pictures of mechanical bat wings.
Here we go.
That would move.
Yes.
And he wrote in his notebook that when he used them, he would say, I'm the Batman.
Right. See,
you, who gave the order? Who gave the order? Oh, what Chrissy said to tell you she needs a pedicure, so she can't show you her naked
feet. Next time. See, originally he said, do I look like Leo? Or I'm Leo. And it just didn't take, so he had to come up with something else. And he was out one night looking at the dragonflies, and he saw bats going over, and he goes, fucking A, I think I got something here. Let me go write this down. Anyway, so Batman is invented.
Then, as soon as he, like in his notebooks, on the same page he did the bat wings, the next thing is shark repellent spray is what he invented.
Well, that stands to reason.
Under that.
In case he flies over
box.
The Mediterranean and falls in. I'm reaching here, Cam. You got to help me. I don't know.
Yeah. Just falls in, gets a great white shark on his leg. He always needs shark repellent spray.
Hate it when that happens.
And next to the shark repellent spray,
right,
he had stingray repellent spray.
Well, yeah.
And tuna repellent spray.
If you can have one, just get the whole set.
Repellent spray.
Get the whole set.
He invented the whole set. Yeah.
Dragonfly repellent.
This was
go ahead.
This was just pussy. He had pussy repellent spray. This was just a theater prop.
Yes, that's important. Yes.
He had another drawing that has a featherless wing connected to gears, pulleys, cranks, and cables. But these were things he was designing for the theater.
Right.
He was trying to make them as realistic as possible, but this wasn't part of his, you know, plans to actually create a flying machine.
Sure.
But I like in the drawing of one of these featherless wings for the theater, he on the back of it, he scribbles a jagged downward line, and he wrote, this is the manner in which birds descend.
No, I was just going to ask real quick. So even though he is studying birds to be as accurate as he can for the theatrical performances, he is taking it seriously, and he does want it to be as lifelike as possible, because that's the way his brain works.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. He wants it to be realistic. He doesn't want people
to see the ropes
in the audience going, boo, that's not how a bird flies.
I can see the ropes. Right.
Here's a question for you and for the audience at home.
Yeah.
Three people.
Including
we've all watched birds. We've all watched birds fly.
Right.
When they fly, do they move their wings upwards at the same speed that they move them downward?
I think it depends on what kind of mood they're in. I honestly don't know. I don't watch that long. I think I'd have to watch more than 7 seconds to give you an answer. And I shan't. I haven't, and I shan't.
Everyone knows you can only last 7 seconds at anything.
Solid 7 seconds. Thank you very much. No. I figured if they wanted to go faster, they'd flap harder. If they wanted to go slower, they'd flap slower. Sounds like science to me, bitches.
Well, Leo knew the answer, and
of course he did.
Knew it differed by species of bird. He wrote, there are some birds that move their wings more swiftly when they lower them than when they raise them, and this is the case with doves and such birds.
And doves fly.
There are others which lower their wings more slowly
than
they raise them. And this is seen with crows and similar birds.
Okay.
And then there are some, such as magpies, which raise and lower them at the same speed.
Right.
Now, here's another one of my favorite parts of this. I mentioned in the last episode that Leo had this strategy for how to look at things, how you had to break them down and look at the details first. He also had a strategy that he wrote down about how to refine his observational skills. Mm. He wrote down like a checklist, a methodical step-by-step way of observing something.
Right.
Like he had a strategy
just fucking
for thinking about
stare
things.
At it. Right. But he took it seriously. Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote, first define the motion of the wind. This is about birds, mm-hmm. right? Then describe how the birds steer through it with only the simple balancing of the wings and the tail. Do this after the description of their anatomy.
Oh, so he's breaking it down. Yeah, yeah.
Breaking it down. He taught himself how to think.
Yeah.
How to think strategically about things. And again, this is something I think we can all learn from and that we all need to do.
Mm-hmm.
In our daily lives. Like, this is what we try and do with the Bullshit Filter show, right?
Right.
Is try and think about how do we think about these things in a logical, consistent fashion. And it's, you know, it's tricky. We don't get taught how to think, most of us, in our schooling.
No.
We get taught facts and we get taught, you know, the approved way of doing something, but we don't get taught how to think about how to think.
Right.
How to break problems down and think about them in a sort of strategic fashion. This is something that Leonardo taught himself how to do.
Well, one thing that I will never forget, when we first started recording, you basically said, because we were like, what kind of tone should we have? How should we do this? How should we do that? And you basically just looked up for a second, thought, looked back down, and you said, let's do the kind of show that we would want to hear. And I think it's the same thing with Leo. If he's like reading something, if someone else wrote this, how would I want them to approach it? How would I want them to break it down? How would I want them to explain the various parts that then build on themselves and then make sense to me? And I think that's exactly what he's doing here. He's breaking it down and organizing it in his head even before he starts. And he's writing this down to make sure that he doesn't forget. Again, very just a scientific approach to how to do everything in his life.
The reason I was looking like that is we just met and I was looking up to try and find you. I was like, where's that voice coming from? And then I looked down. Oh!
There he is. I'm like, hey,
there you are.
Here I am. Hey, here's a bird.
It's like that photo of us in Vegas meeting in person for the first time, me on my knees giving you a hug.
Right.
I put that somewhere.
I thought that was going to go further. But anyway, we can talk about that later. Yeah.
He said, while you're down there. Avert your eyes, children.
It's Vegas. You don't have to. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Children, avert your eyes. Heather, pay close attention.
Take notes, like Leonardo.
On a trip to the vineyard that he had been given by Ludovico as payment.
The lewd dude.
We talked about in a previous episode. The lewd dude. He watched a particular partridge take flight and he wrote, when a bird with a wide wingspan and a short tail wants to take off, it will lift its wings with force and turn them to receive the wind beneath them. Then he wrote a song. You are the wind beneath my wings. Bette Midler ripped it off and became a big hit.
Yeah.
He wrote, birds with short tails have very wide wings, which, by their width, take the place of the tail, and they make considerable use of the helms set on the shoulders when they wish to turn. When birds are descending near the ground and the head is below the tail, they lower the tail, which is spread wide open, and take short strokes with the wings. Consequently, the head is raised above the tail, and the speed is checked, so that the bird can alight on the ground without a shock.
So
we've all noticed all of that with birds when they fly, of course.
Well, the most important thing is that you don't want your birds, which probably don't even weigh a pound, landing like Iron Man when they come down on one knee, bam, because you know that's not going to end very well. So they have to literally check their speed and their momentum before they get down so it can be a nice little soft landing. And again, he's not, I mean, Yeah, he's watching this because it's cool. And yes, if you've ever watched a bird, you can see it tilt and turn its wings to either catch or not catch wind and speed up. That's all cool. But you got to remember, he's literally figuring this out. He's like, okay, so I see how you're doing it, so I can try to do it for a guy in a suit at some point or some kind of contraption. So never forget that he's going to try to duplicate what he sees so he can try to give man the gift of flight one day in the future. Again, just very, very bold of him to think, yeah, I can do this. I just need to pay attention and take some notes.
Barry and Stem are like, what are you doing, Leo? Looking at bird's wings? Really? Still? After that chat that we had a few months back?
It was 2 weeks ago.
How's the horse going? Horse? The horse? Hey, I'm thinking about horses. I'm over horses.
So
I'm into birds now.
And so Barry goes, Leo, let me ask you a question. Do you remember who was supposed to be on the horse? Because when I ask anybody about it, they just say, oh, the horse. There's more to it. Don't let Ludovico, find out, because he might get pissed. It is for his daddy. And he's like, don't worry, I'm digging the pits now. I figured out I got to put it on its side and do the heat. I'm working on it, but this is just my part-time fun gig. Don't worry. Don't worry, guys. It's not like the French are going to invade anytime soon. I got plenty of time.
In fact, while I'm looking at birds, in the back of my head, I'm thinking about guys on horses,
right?
That's how you gotta let the mind sort of relax.
The back burner,
it's in the back burner. Don't worry, I got this. Don't fucking tell me how to think about shit. I'm Leonardo da Vinci, motherfucker.
I literally think about thinking. Fuck you, and he walks away.
Yeah, yeah. What do you do? Come up with a brand name? Fuck you.
You got some coke on your nose. Now go away. Sorry, go ahead.
After 20 years of observing birds, he compiled all of his notes into the Codex on the Flight of Birds. Today, that lives in the Biblioteca Reale Museum in Turin in Italy.
Nice. Okay.
But, of course, like any respectable history podcast, and even some unrespectable?
We're all the same.
Non-respectable? Non-respectable ones I can think of. He knew that in order to understand something, you first have to understand other things. He wrote, to explain the science of the flight of birds, it is necessary to explain the science of the winds, which we shall prove by the motion of the waters. The understanding of the science of water will serve as a ladder to arrive at the knowledge of things flying in the air.
So I got to say, that's like talking to you, Cam. In order to understand this, you've got to dig into this. But in order to understand this, you've got to go deep into the third thing to understand the first thing. And then the second thing will just be dragged along. Perfect sense. Just makes perfect sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, the whole idea that air and water operated the same way, fluid dynamics, it was something that he was one of the pioneers of. People hadn't really thought about that before, at least as far as we know.
Right.
He was like, this is where observing everything, paying attention to everything
pays off. Exactly.
Oh, well, I look at how a leaf moves in the water, and I look at how a leaf moves if it's being blown in the air, and they look very, very similar to me. A feather in the air, a leaf in the water, they move the same way. Okay, I think there's something going on here.
Yeah.
Easier. You can't see the air, but you can see water, or you can put it's easier to put stuff in the water to see how things move.
The effects of air. So there's a connection.
By the way, do you know who won a Nobel Prize for his work on fluid dynamics?
The guy that did all of Batman's equipment. No, who? Tell me. I don't know.
Alfred?
Alfred or the black guy that worked for Wayne Industries.
Oh, the black guy? Lucius? Lucius Fox?
Yeah, Lucius. There we go. No, I please tell me who.
Albert Einstein, the only Academy Award, the only Nobel Prize.
Right.
His Academy Award was for a Marilyn Monroe film that he made that didn't do it. It was like
supporting role.
The old man and the sexy kid. The only Nobel Prize he got was for his work in fluid dynamics.
Not bad.
Didn't get it for relativity or any of that kind of stuff. It was fluid dynamics.
Yeah.
Now, no scientist before Leonardo had methodically shown how birds stay up in the air.
Right.
Most had simply just ripped off of Aristotle,
right?
Who thought that they were supported by air the way that ships were by water. They were basically floating on the air. Leonardo realized that staying aloft in the air requires fundamentally different dynamics than being in water because why, Ray?
Well, birds weigh more than air would be my thing. And they probably got gravity trying to be a big old bitch to the party and pull them down. So they've got to do something more than just float. They have to defy. So clearly there's probably going to be some other forces at play here.
Exactly. Wow, your physics training is really paying off here, right?
YouTube! Sorry, I got it.
The benefit of an American education is really
I got to edit that out.
Showing.
Thank you. And I'm done for the night.
In the first two folios of his Codex on the Flight of Birds, he deals with the laws of gravity.
Right.
Which he calls the attraction of one object to another. He said the force of gravity acts in the direction of an imaginary line between the centers of each object.
That's pretty deep.
Then
yes.
He described how to calculate the gravity, or the center of gravity of a bird, a pyramid, and other complex shapes. This is 200 years
before
Isaac Newton.
So
he realized that light was waves.
Right.
And 200 years before Newton got it wrong and said it was corpuscles, and he figured out how gravity worked 200 years before Newton.
And this was just some shit he was working through to get to the other side of something else. Now, and by the way, this is how you calculate the center of gravity of a complex shape. Fuck you. I will never amount to anything. So
that's what he wrote at the end of it. How you calculate gravity of a complex shape. Fuck you, Newton. Exclamation mark.
Do you know why he wrote that? Because he invented a time machine and saw that Newton would get credit. Fuck you, Newton. Yeah. Anyway.
Although, to be fair, if he had the time machine, he could go to the future, learn about how gravity works, then go back in time and pretend.
See, it gets complicated.
He pulled a Biff, like he had the scores. And he went back in time and bet on... He was the prototype. A lot of people think Donald Trump was the prototype for Biff.
Not true.
It was really Leonardo da Vinci. He was the world's greatest cheat. And some people think Donald Trump is Leonardo da Vinci, that he went back in time that he worked out how to become president of the United States.
Well, he's really dumbing it down for us because he's got me convinced that's not Leonardo. So he's doing a fucking A job. Oh, and by the way, side note, I have volunteered us to be time patrol cops, if they should ever need that. People keep fucking up the timeline. I volunteered us to go back and fix shit because I just thought it'd be a cool weekend. I'll let you know if they need us. Okay? Mm. All right.
Which is now, that's how they've retconned the Doctor's history too. The Doctor was apparently time police, time cop. If you've watched any of the Jodie, what's-her-face episodes.
Whitaker?
Well, the last one. Yeah. Whitaker, yeah.
Yeah.
The unearthly child. Anywho,
yes.
He also had this other huge insight,
right.
Leonardo, this is not the Doctor, that water cannot be compressed like air.
Right.
In other words, a wing beating down on air will compact the air into a smaller space.
Makes sense.
And as a result, the air pressure beneath the wing will be higher than the pressure above the wing.
Right.
He wrote, if the air could not be compressed, the birds would not be able to support themselves upon the air that is struck by their wings. The downward flap of the wing pushes the bird higher and thrusts it forward.
Right.
So he figured out lift, basically.
Yes.
He was
Fuck
the guy
me.
That
yeah.
figured out lift. That and everyone who learns how to fly a plane or learns how planes work.
Yes.
You have to understand the principles of lift. Leonardo figured out the principle of how lift
works. On his way to something else. And then he takes it even deeper. He goes one level deeper below that. He realized that the pressure of the bird puts on the air is met by an equal and opposite pressure that the air puts on the bird. Now, I know that sounds familiar to everybody. So again, 200 years before Newton comes up with his equal and opposite reaction, you've got Leo figuring that out. I would almost think stumbling across it as he's trying to figure out birds, their wings, their shapes, and how they work. Absolutely amazing.
He He wrote, "See how the wings striking against the air sustain the heavy eagle in the thin air on high. As much force is exerted by the object against the air as by the air against the object." So,
fucking,
yeah, way ahead. He's also way ahead of Galileo.
Right.
He wrote, "The effect of moving air on a stationary object is as great as it is when the object is moving and the air is stationary."
Wow.
So Galileo's principle of relativity, again, you know, hundreds of years.
Anticipated.
Galileo, he's like, boom, got this.
Yeah.
In other words, the forces that would act
right
on a bird flying through the air are the same as the forces acting on a bird that's stationary but has air rushing right past
just
it.
Gliding.
Like if you put a
right there
bird in a wind tunnel.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like I live in a cove, which is basically two mountain. And mountain is a relative term. Think of two very high hills or very small mountains on either side of it. In the middle, obviously, the wind is pretty intense, and that's where I live, and there's a lot of wind here. But there are times when the bird is just above the house. It's got its wings out. It's not flapping, and it's literally not going anywhere. It's maybe looking at something on the ground, and it can just tilt its wings one way or the other just to stay perfectly still. And the wind is doing all the work. So whether it's flapping or the wind is going across its wings, it's all the same force, and the birds instinctively know how to use it to maneuver and to manipulate everything around them to go in any direction they want. It is actually pretty fucking cool. Maybe I should stare at birds more, but it is pretty fucking cool when you think about it.
Well, you know, one of these days you might invite me to your house.
Maybe it's not.
You know, we've been doing podcasts for 8 years.
It's only been 8 years, so.
It's only been 8 years. Right? The last time I went to America, you said no fucking way you were allowed to come to my house. So.
Right. Yeah. I invited Chrissy. Oh, yeah. I don't know what more I could do.
Yeah, just Chrissy. I know.
Can you tell you what? Sad. Tell you what, 10 years, give it a good 10, not 10 from now.
10
but
years.
10 years. 10 years. And then you're invited.
Oh, 10 years.
No.
Oh, 10 years total. Okay.
10 years total. Mm. And if it's safe.
That's 2 years from now. Do you think America will have got a handle on COVID by then?
I think COVID will have had a handle on us for quite some time, and we'll have to create a whole bunch of new graveyards and crematoriums and stuff like that. So it might not be a good time to swing by and say hi. We'll see. We'll see.
He figured all this out by looking at, again, how water flowed, which he wrote in the same notebook. "The action of a pole drawn through still water resembles that of running water against a stationary pole."
Damn.
"Ipso facto."
Right.
"Wind passing past a stationary bird has the same impact as a bird moving through stationary air."
It's all interconnected. Yeah.
He also got the jump by more than 200 years on Bernoulli
right
by realizing that when any fluid, including air, flows faster, it exerts less pressure.
That's cool.
He drew a cross-section of a bird's wing, which showed that the top is curved more than the underside, which is how aeroplane wings are obviously designed.
Mm-hmm.
"The air flowing over the curved top of the wing has to travel further than the air flowing under the bottom. Therefore, right, the air on the top has to travel faster. The difference in speed means that the air on the top of the wing exerts less pressure than the air on the top, which, again, causes lift."
That's cool. Yeah. That's fucking cool. Fucking cool.
And he worked all this out.
Just by.
Through advanced computer modeling that he got.
He had scanners.
The time machine.
Right.
Went to the future.
X-ray, And a machine there where he could see the wind. It was a guy in a fancy dress with a notebook and a pencil or a stylus or whatever the fuck, and just watching birds when he wasn't watching dragonflies. Yeah.
And naked boys. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, I've said this before and I'll say it again. The more I read about this guy, the more I'm just dumbstruck by how just brilliant he was. I had no idea how astoundingly brilliant he was. His ability to just look at the world and figure shit out from basic principles. Astounding.
We're not saying not be impressed with Newton, just that there was a Newton before the Newton, and it was like by 200 years. So just keep that, if that's something that you need to measure it by, that's how amazing this guy is. And he's not even supposed to be doing this. It's not his fucking job. It's his hobby.
No.
It's his hobby.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Yeah. Where were we?
So, from his observations of birds and dragonflies over the years, he became increasingly convinced that he could build a machine that would allow humans to fly.
Yeah.
He wrote, "A bird is an instrument working according to mathematical laws, and it is in the capacity of man to reproduce such an instrument. A man with wings large enough and duly attached might learn to overcome the resistance of the air and raise himself upon it." And so he started to design flying machines.
Yes. And like you said earlier, he's bringing engineering, physics, anatomy, his artistic ability, everything that he's learned through observation, and he's bringing it together, and boom, it's going down on a piece of paper. If I was to create something allowing a human to fly, what would it look like? What would be involved? What are some of the basics? And he starts, you know, creating this design. So he's taking a lot of stuff in, and now it's time to actually get down to work and to think in theory, would this hold a human in the air?
Yeah. I'm just going to pull up some pictures of these. Mm-hmm. So everyone's seen pictures of his flying machines before, I'm sure. If you've been to one of the Leonardo da Vinci museums somewhere around the world, you've probably seen these. I've been to a couple. I think one was in Florence. I think there's one in Turin, which I haven't been to. There's probably one in Milan.
Right.
I don't know where else there are, but there's a bunch of them around the world where you get to see these things. You know, they take sort of, he had a bunch of different ideas over time. He modeled lots of different things.
Right.
You know, one that people have seen kind of looks like a helicopter. It's got like spinny things on top of like a little platform. He's got the bat wings.
Yes.
That, you know, was the first prototype Batman suit. Here's one that looks like a big bowl with four blades that are supposed to go up and down like a dragonfly's wings.
Right.
Because he realized that humans' muscles were probably too weak to flap these fast enough.
Right.
He created like pedals for the legs and cranks with gears and pulleys to pump a piston, using the shoulders to pull cables.
Good God.
It's like it's like an exercise machine.
From hell.
Yeah. No real way to steer the machine, but, you know, he's probably just trying to figure out how to go up and down. Like,
right.
If you can get up, that's all the Wright brothers were trying to do, is just get up and not die. Don't die, don't die, don't die, don't die.
Don't die today.
That's my mission.
Yeah. Mission. Don't die today. Mission accomplished. Yeah.
Non morire oggi. Don't die today.
Orgy. I heard orgy. Go ahead.
Non more. not to die today. 7 pages later in the same notebook, he draws the bat wing.
Yes.
With its very obvious bat influence, similar to those that he'd drawn for a theatrical production in Florence that we talked about.
Yeah.
This wing is attached to a thick wooden plank, which he said should weigh 150 pounds.
Damn.
And a lever mechanism to pump the wing.
Okay.
When the wing is swinging upwards, a hinge would allow it to point its tips downwards so there'd be less resistance, and then slowly be moved by a spring and pulley back up to a... Yeah, like that. For the visual.
Thank you.
Visual there for people listening to the podcast.
You're not going
to
get this anywhere else, people.
Just... think Jack Black doing his devil dance on stage in the greatest song in the world.
You're not wrong.
And that's basically what Ray's doing right there.
I get paid slightly less to do it. Yes. but he's working on it now. He's starting to work out the nuts and bolts of it.
Jack Black?
No, flying machine.
Oh, Leonardo.
Yeah. I switched back on you. Sorry about that, buddy.
Yeah. He also designed skin flaps and wings that could be closed on the downswing but fly open on the upswing to minimize air resistance.
Details.
We've all seen those on the wings of planes. If you've looked out of a window, the little flap goes up, the little flap goes down.
Yes.
Yes. Changes the air resistance.
Yeah.
So he figured all this shit out just from thinking.
Right. Now, as we said, he's going to be working on this on and off for 20 years. It is a very complex puzzle. He is trying to do, you know, human-powered flight. It's okay if he's going to get frustrated every once in a while. And there are going to be times when he's like, well, maybe flapping under human power isn't the way to go. Maybe about a, something like where they're gliding. Like you've seen birds just stick their wings out and glide. Maybe I can glide. But most of the time he was working on a flight machine because I think this is something that he truly wanted to do. He was inspired by it. Again, like you said, when he started with the stage props, even before he was doing that when other people were doing them, I think he really wanted this to happen. But most of his time was trying to come up with something that was human power that would give man flight, not unlike a god or a bird.
Gods fly.
Angels do. That's close. That's the best I got.
Right. Yeah, I guess gods can fly. Why not?
They can do, do they have wings? They can do anything they want. They're gods.
Yeah, but for most of his career, he tried to figure out human-powered flight. Yeah. He drew more than a dozen variations on machines using pedals and levers, pilots standing or lying. He began referring to his machine as the uccello, the bird in Italian, uccello. In his studio, where he was supposed to be working on the horse statue, he was working on flying machines for a lot of this time. Like every 10-year-old boy in history who gets a Superman cape for a birthday present, he
goes to the roof.
Intended to throw himself off the roof. At one point, he wrote himself a note about how to do that without being seen by construction workers who were building the Tiburio next door, the tower that he entered a design competition for and lost.
Right.
He wrote, make a large and tall model and you will have a room on the upper roof. If you stand on the roof at the side of the tower, the men at work upon the Tiburio will not see you.
Ooh, ooh.
So, yeah,
question.
Ray, the midget in the back standing on the shoulders of giants.
Thank you. Isn't this where he should be using a mask? I mean, if he's afraid of being found out, that's why you do the mask. You don't want people to know that Leonardo is working on a flying machine, just that somebody is. Boom. Mask. I don't know why I have to come up with everything.
So, Batman mask? Yeah, something. The hood.
Something.
Cowl.
Something.
Put the cowl on. Yeah.
I'm sure it would have eventually evolved to a Batman mask, but he might have started out with a pigeon or a crow. I don't know. Anyway.
He could just put some glasses on. Oh. Superman, just put some glasses on. No one will have a fucking clue who he is or take them off.
Take your glasses off. Where's Cam? Bring Cam back. Hey, Cam, how's it going?
I'm here. Yeah.
It's hour two, and we're talking. Cam's had his shots, and I've had several shots. Anyway.
Like, okay, so I want to know, why does he care if they see him doing this or not? Is it because he's promised Ludovico that he's not going to work on flying machines anymore?
Hey, boss, I saw your guy. Yeah. No, it didn't look like a fucking horse to me, sir. No. Yeah. Leonardo!
He could have just said, well, in order to accurately sculpt the giant horse, I need to see what horses look like from above. So I had to invent a flying machine so I could fly over horses. Because I've got to measure the dimensions of a horse as seen from space, basically.
Yeah. Or plan B, I thought you wanted your father on Pegasus. Oh, see, miscommunication there. I'm sorry. Okay, I'll go back to the horse now. I thought you wanted a flying horse. Anyway, message received, boss.
And?
Yes.
He never exactly said, like, what happens if they fail? Like, what was his failsafe at the bottom of the tower he was going to jump off? Was it water? Was it mattresses? Was it just a bunch of poor people lying down that he could fall on? Dead corpses that he'd cut up to see what their muscles looked like and fetuses and wombs just, like, spread them all out. Maybe he'd made a tarpaulin made of human skin from the corpses.
That's worse than what dissected. I was going to say. I was going to say, at least I know for a fact that he filled out his organ donor card for other artists, scientists. But goddamn, Cam, human skin.
Sorry, did I go a little bit too dark?
You went over to Leo land, you sick fuck.
Is it just me?
You went over.
Is it just me?
It is you. You and Leo.
Tarpaulin's made of human skin.
I'd like to think he thought that out.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
So I can get my tarpaulin.
If it wants to avoid the hose again.
Oh, you're a poet. Good. I didn't know that. Yeah.
At other times, he did think about testing a flying machine over water, wearing a life preserver, again, made of human skin.
Sure.
No,
sure.
Wine skin. Oh, right. That was his second model. You will experiment with this machine over a lake, and you will wear as a belt a long wine skin so that if you fall in, you will not drown.
I have to ask, did you then at this point stop and do research on life preservers? Because I did. The only thing I could find... Yeah. You did?
No.
The only thing I could find was a British Royal Navy in February 1802, obviously 300 years past Leo at this point, Abraham Busquet, I don't know how to say it, he proposed that the Royal Navy issue strong canvas bags with dimensions of filled cork shavings. So that's 300 years. So are we... And I couldn't find anything else. Are we trying to say that Leonardo just fucking came up with another way to save life for sailors at sea and didn't bother to tell anybody? Oh, yeah, you take a wineskin, you put something, you fill it up with something in the fucking float. So in case you fall in the water, you won't drown. But that's a fucking Tuesday for me. I mean, I couldn't find anything before him, but I don't know if there was any other devices before his.
So, I think slaves were the first step. Yeah. Clung onto a slave.
You get their body to float after the first shark bite, and then you just float on that. Yeah, it sounds right, actually. It's science. Science.
Yeah, I don't know about that. What I do know is after he invented the first lifesaver, he then shrunk it down and made it minty flavored.
Are we talking about condoms?
No. You've had minty flavored condoms?
No, because it was a... Anyway, no, I got you. Lifesavers. I got you. That was a good one.
You have lifesavers in America?
Yeah. No, that was good. I just went right for the penis. You know me. So I apologize.
Yeah, I do.
I apologize.
Yeah. And you can fit your penis through a lifesaver.
No reason to bring that up.
I can see...
Not germane.
I can see how they... One thing leads to the other thing.
Not germane to the current story at hand.
Fluid dynamics. What's germane got to do with it?
What I'm going to do on your grave will pass for fluid dynamics. I don't know where the... I'm normally full of love. There's something about you.
But to piss on my grave, you'll need to bring a step ladder. You'll need to climb up.
Worth it!
In order to be able to...
Totally worth it! Anyway, sorry.
Finally, when all... Let's wrap this up. Yes. Finally, when all of his experiments were nearly done,
right.
He started to have fantasies about what it would look like. He wrote, "The large bird will take its first flight from the back of the great swan."
Right.
This is in the last folio of his Codex on the Flight of Birds, referring to Swan Mountain near Fiesole, where he was living, where his vineyard was.
Right.
"Filling the universe with amazement, filling all writings with its fame, and bringing eternal glory to the nest where it was born."
That was
Wow, him. Delusions of grandeur. Who the fuck do you think you are, Leonardo da Vinci? Oh, wait, okay.
He's a frustrated Leo. Yeah. 20 years.
Mm.
But he tried. He tried.
He tried. Sadly, he was never able to create a self-propelled human flying machine.
Mm-hmm.
But to be fair, 500 years later, no one else has either.
We can let him slide. He's impressed us enough just for tonight, much less the rest of his life. So I think we can cut him some slack.
He needed to invent the combustion engine first.
Right, step one.
And then give it to somebody, and then put it into a plane.
Yes. Shrink it. Yeah.
Anywho, that is the end of episode 131, Leonardo and the Flying Machines. Mm. We will be back next time with more Leonardo da Vinci stories.